Hello, radio friends. Welcome to a Back to the Bible radio broadcast, an outreach ministry of the Hoopers Creek Baptist Church. My name is Pastor Philip Youngblood, and we want to thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that the broadcast is a blessing to you as you listen. Good evening, radio friends. Welcome to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. Hope you're having a good day today. We are going to be looking once again at the same topic we've been looking at all week, Psalms chapter number 1, and we're going to be focusing on verses 4 through 6, the ungodly are not so, looking at some of the judgments. Hope it's a blessing as you listen.
The Bible said in Psalms chapter number 1, we've already preached on the section speaking about the blessed man, those that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. But tonight we're going to turn the tides a little bit and speak about the ungodly. Now, notice what the text says here in verse number 4. The Bible said this, and the ungodly are not so. The Bible just said, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. But notice what he says here, the ungodly are not so. It's not that way with the ungodly, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The Bible said that he's driven away, like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The first time that the word driven is mentioned in the King James Bible, it's mentioned in connection with Cain. Now, Cain and his ungodly ways. Take your Bible and go to Genesis chapter number 4 real quickly. Chapter 4 and verse number 13 is where we're going to be. Now, I want you to notice verse number 1 says, and Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man-child from who? The Lord. I've gotten a man-child from the Lord. And through his choices and through his deception, he became ungodly. Now notice in verse number 13. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment. Well, obviously, what punishment? Well, we understand that Abel was a shepherd, and he offered to the Lord through sacrifice one of his sheep, amen? And it was pleasing unto God. God accepted his sacrifice. But Cain was a tiller of the ground, and that tiller of the ground, he took his best fruits and laid them down as a sacrifice. It was rejected by God. He got mad, turned around, and this is what he did. He slew his brother Abel. And God goes to punish Cain for his disobedience, for his rejection of God, for his man ungodly lifestyle. This is what he says. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. He was driven tonight. Driven. Why? Because of his ungodly lifestyle. Can I tell you that your ungodly lifestyle will cause you to have a breaking of fellowship between you and the Lord? It'll cause you, friend, not just to lose the connection with God, but it'll also ultimately destroy your life eternally if you continue in your ungodly ways. Not only do we see, once again back in Psalm chapter number 1, not only do we see that the ungodly man is driven away, but we also see from the text that he is doomed. You say, what do you mean by that? Look at verse number 5. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. As the blessed man stands before God in the judgment seat of Christ, I want to talk about some judgments here in just a moment. But as the same man stands before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm talking about one of these days we're going to give an account of our reward of the things that we've done while being saved by the grace of God. I'm going to stand before God, and God's going to give us some things. Amen. He's going to give us, it could be wood, it could be hay, it could be stubble, it could be gold and silver or precious stones. Amen. But you're going to be rewarded somehow. But there is a judgment, friend. And I want you to know that the ungodly are going to stand one of these days in that judgment. The reason why that I get to stand in the great white throne judgment, however, is because Jesus has already took my other judgments. Amen. You say, how do you do that? Well, I'm not going to stand before God on the fact of not knowing Him. No, the sins that I've committed, past sin, present sin, future sin. No, I'm going to tell you something. Christ paid it all at Calvary, amen. And when the Bible said over there in Exodus, when I see the blood, I pass over thee. Almost like when the judgment comes that night, he's looking for that one that doesn't have the blood applied. Death is going through the land. But when he finds that house that does not have the blood applied, this is what he does. He goes in, he invades the home, he destroys that firstborn in the land, amen. And I tell you, judgment falls on Egypt that night. However, those that had the blood upon the doorpost, saved, 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 amen. Why? Because the blood was applied. I like what Brother Brad said. I don't know if it's posted yet, but Brother Brad did something on the substitutionary sacrifice at Calvary, what Christ did for us, him standing in our stead on the verse of the day. And I tell you what's a blessing with that is the fact that, hey, what Christ did, he died for me. And Christ took my judgment, amen. Christ took my sin, amen. You say, I'm telling you tonight, listen, Jesus, he knew no sin, amen. Christ was not a sinner, but he took my sin, the one that I committed. And he died for this criminal, amen. And he took my place that when God looks at me, he now sees the blood of the Lamb. Thank God, I'm telling you, praise God, I'll help you tonight. Amen. We stand before the judgment seat of Christ. God's going to look at us as a saved child of God, and he's going to say, hey, did you do it well? Did you use all you had? Did you use your resources that I give you for the glory of God? I will stand before God one of these days giving absolutely everything that I've got for the glory of God. Those six results that are found in this judgment was this: wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. Now take your Bible tonight, and if you will, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. And it's speaking about that Bema seat. Speaking about that one I was talking about there just a minute ago. Paul said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If I'm absent from the body, then that means the body's dead. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So if I'm absent from this body, then I'm present with the Lord, that means this. That means my soul's not sleeping in the grave. Amen. And some of those people that's already gone on before us, my granddad, my grandma, amen. Amen. All of your loved ones that you've got laid over on the hill and other places, that means that they're not laying in that grave anymore. You don't have to go to the graveyard. You can just look up and say, hey, they're with Jesus tonight. Absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, listen, they're a whole lot better off than we are. Amen, they are. They're a whole lot better off than we are. He said, we are confident, I say. Verse number 9, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. In other words, whether I'm on this side or on that side, the whole drive that I should be accomplishing is this: not to live an ungodly lifestyle, but to live as one that's planted by the rivers of water, that's drawing its sustenance from Jesus, and every day being blessed and being sustained by the things of God. Whether present or absent, can I tell you, it doesn't make no difference if you're on this side or that side. You can still be sustained by God, helped by God, nourished by God. He goes on and say, I may not even get to half this. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now that "we" right there is referring to those that's born again in this context. We're talking about saved people. We're not talking about, look here, we're not talking about the lost, we're not talking about the dead, we're talking about saved people at this point. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. The ungodly, we said, are not so. The ungodly, however, is not going to be given this opportunity. They're not going to stand before this judgment seat of Christ and be rewarded. They're not going to be able to stand in this judgment. That's what Psalm chapter number 1 said. Nor stand in the judgment. They can't stand in this judgment because for they've never done anything for God. They've always done everything for the world, themselves, and the devil. Amen. And godly are not so, the Bible said. Like what Oliver B. Green said here. And speaking of it, now take your Bible, go to Revelation chapter number 20, verse number 11. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. This is the finality of the devil. Was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw the great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Notice this right here. And there was no place for them. And there was no place for them. The throne that set up, however, in Matthew chapter number 25 and verse number 31, it's speaking about a sheep and a goat judgment. It's talking about the nations. We may go back. I want to read it here in just a minute. It's talking about the nations. And when the Lord returns to this earth, amen, I'm not talking about the rapture. The rapture takes place and there's going to be a 7-year tribulation period, a time when I'm telling you all kinds of horrible things are going to take place on planet earth. And then after that 7-year period, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this world. Amen. He's going to set up his throne, the kingdom of heaven there. He's going to place it right there in Jerusalem. He's going to sit on the throne of David as a king, as a judge, and he's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years, called the millennial reign for him. And what's going to take place is there's going to be a judgment when the nations of the world are brought before God, and they're going to be tried as to how well they received the gospel, how that they treated God's preachers, how that they treated God's people, and they're going to stand before God, and they're going to give in the judgment, they're going to give an account. Now, you think these leaders today, you've got these kings and you've got these presidents and you've got these world leaders today that are standing up. And guess what? They don't stand for God's people, it seems like. It seems like that they're more interested in promoting ungodly lifestyles. It seems like their ideas are more about how that we can have more abortions. Are y'all with me tonight? Doing ungodly things in our nation. I want to tell you, they're going to stand before God one of these days in the judgment. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to preach the book tonight. Amen. There is a judgment coming. I tell you what, go over to Matthew chapter number 20. Chapter 25, and we're going to look down there in verse number 31. The Bible said this. Chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, give all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne, the throne of his glory. He's not going to come to the cross again. When he walks in Jerusalem this time, he's not riding a colt, the foal of an ass. No, not this time, friend. No, this time he's riding a white horse. And that's this time, listen to those that cried, Hosanna, he is worthy to be praised. Not this time, friend. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. And when he walks in this time, friend, he's not coming, amen, to make peace. No, he's coming to make war, amen. He's coming to set up his kingdom. He's going to take it too. And all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ain't you glad that from this very beginning, God's prepared a place for those that love him? Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to another Back to the Bible radio broadcast. We would like to invite you to come out and be a part of our church. We are located at 71 Hoopers Creek Church Road. That's in Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. If you'd like to write us, our mailing address is P.O. Box 1856, Fletcher, North Carolina, 28732. 1-800-283-2. Also, check us out on the World Wide Web at HooperscreekBaptist.com or download our church app where you can get the verse of the day and enjoy some great preaching and singing from our choir. Have a great day. Tune in tomorrow for another Back to the Bible radio broadcast.